Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Let's have the Damodarasi, so we can stop now, because we have Damodar, so we can
stop.
Yeah.
Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kun Radha Kun Grigovardhan Ki Jai. वृंदावन धाम की जय, नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय, गंगा माई की जय, जमुना माई की जय, भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की, श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की जय, जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जय, श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय, राधा दामोदर जी की जय, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु एंड गौरांगा.
कैसे श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की, श्री श्री राधा दामोदर की, श्री कार्तिक की जय. Mamishwaram Sache Ananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamana Mamishwaram Ananda Rupam Yashoda biyo lokala davamana param rishta matyanda to drutya gopya. Rudanta muhur netra yugma mrijantam Kadam praja yugme na satanka netra Shwasakam patre re kakakanta Shtita graiva tamodaram bhakti badha Ididriksvalila virananda kunde Svagosham nimajantam akyapayantai Tadeshitagneshu bhakta jitatvam Punna prematastam sata vritti vande Var
param deva moksham na moksham vadim va na chanyam vrineham vare shadapiha. Idam teva purnata gopala pala sadame manasa virastam kimanyai. Idam te mukam bhuja matyanta nilai Pritam kuntalai shnigda raktai shai gopya.
Tam teva purnata gopa Mohoshum bitam bimbarakta darame manasavirastam alam lakshalabhai.
Namo devo damodar ananta vishnu Kasida Prabho Dukha Jaladi Magha. Vipadrishti Vrishati Dinam Batanu Krihanisha Mamagyam Yedyakshi Drishya. Viratma jaubadha murdaiva yadva taya mochito bhakti bhajyo krito cha. Tata prema bhaktim svakamme prayaja Namo kshe graha me sti damo dadeha. Namaste stu damne spuradipte damne Svadiyo dharayata vishvasya damne. Namo Radhikayai Tvadiya Priyayai Namo Nanta Leelaya Devaya Tubhya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe, Jaya Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Shiradhe, Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Shri Radha Damodar Ki, to the Supreme Controller who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, who manifested himself in Gokul, who stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their sturums, then quickly jumped up and ran in retreat in fear of Mother Yashoda, but was ultimately caught to that Supreme Lord Sri Damodar. I offer my humble obeisances.
Upon seeing his mother at the prince's feet, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick. And as Mother Yashoda bowed his head, this supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, who is bound with his devotee's love, I offer my humble obeisances.
The super excellent pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna's babyhood drowned the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayan in Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times.
Nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your Paramatma. Simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart.
O Lord, the cheats of your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by lots of curling hair, have become red in like bimba fruit due to Mother Jasoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulences are of no use to me. But may this vision constantly remain in my mind.
O unlimited vision, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow, and am almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy upon me. Uplift me and protect me with your nectarine vision.
Thank you.
O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Brahma, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound by with ropes by Mother Yasoda. To this rope I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Radharani and to your unlimited pastimes. Jai.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Gopi Jan Ballab Va Girivar Dhari Jai Gopi Jan Ballab Va Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanchari Jamuna Tira Vanchari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jan Ballab Va Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braj Jan Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanchari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari J jai jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य अश्रुत शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांता स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य अश्रुत शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्री ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Thank you. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीर्ये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रोत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नेष्ट की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Canto 9, Chapter 13, titled The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi, text number 9. Yasya yogam na vanchanti. यस्य योगं न वञ्चन्ति वियोगाभयाकात्रः भजन्ति चरणाम्भोजम् मुनियो हरि मेदशः यस्य योगं न वाञ्छन्ति वियोगा भया कात्रः भजन्ति चरणां भोजं मुन्यो हरि मेदसा यस्य योगं न वञ्चन्ति वियोगा भया कात्रः भजन्ति चरणां भोजं मुन्यो हरि मेदसा यस्य योगं न वाञ्छन्ति वियोगा भयाकतरः भजन्ति चरणां भोजं मुन्यो हरि मेदसः यस्य योगं न वाञ्छन्ति वियोगा भयाकतरः भजन्ति चरणां भोजं मुनयो हरि मेदसा यस्य योगं न वाञ्छन्ति वियोगा भयाकतरः भजन्ति चरणां भोजं मुनियो हरि मेदसा यस्य योगं न वाञ्छन्ति वियोगा भयाकतरः भजन्ति चरणां भोजं मुनियो हरि मेदसा यस्य विद द बॉडी Yogam, contact, na, do not, vanchanti, jnani's desire, viyoga bhaya katraha, being afraid of giving up the body again, bhajanti, offer transcendental loving service, charna ambhojam, to the lotus feet of the Lord, Munayaha, great saintly persons, Hari Medesaha, whose intelligence is always absorbed in thoughts of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maharaj Nimi continued, Mayavadis generally want freedom from accepting a material body because they fear having to give it up again. But devotees whose intelligence is always filled with the service of the Lord are unafraid. Indeed, they take advantage of the body to render transcendental loving service. Purport. Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept a material body which would be cause of bondage. Because he was a devotee, he wanted a body by which he could render devotional service to the Lord. Sri Bhakti Vinoda Thakur sings, Janmao bi more ichha yadi tora bhakti graha jani janma hua mora किता जन्मा हाउ यथा तुया दासा My Lord, if you want me to take birth and accept a material body again, kindly do me this favor. Allow me to take birth in the home of your servant, your devotee. I do not mind being born there even as an insignificant creature like an insect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Nadhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagdish kamye mama janmami janam minishvare Bhaktavad Bhaktir Ahituki Tvai. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruitive activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. By saying life after life, Janmani Janmani, the Lord referred not to an ordinary birth, but a birth in which to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a body is desirable. A devotee does not think like yogis and jnanis, who want to refuse a material body, become one with the impersonal Brahman effulgence. A devotee does not like this idea. On the contrary, he will accept any body, material or spiritual, for he wants to serve the Lord. This is real liberation. If one has a strong desire to serve the Lord, even if he accepts a material body, there is no cause of anxiety, since a devotee, even in a material body, is a liberated soul. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Iha yasya harer dase karma na manasa gira nikhilasu api avasthasu jivan muktasa uchyate. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna with his body, mind, intelligence and words, is a liberated person even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. The desire to serve the Lord establishes one as liberated in any condition of life, whether in a spiritual body or in a material body. In a spiritual body, the devotee becomes a direct associate of the Lord. But even though a devotee may superficially appear to be in a material body, he is always liberated and is engaged in the same duties of service to the Lord as a devotee in Vaikuntha Loka. There is no distinction. It is said, sadhur jivo va maro va. Whether a devotee is alive or dead, his only concern is to serve the Lord. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti. When he gives up his body, he goes directly to become an associate of the Lord and serve him, although he does the same thing even in a material body in the material world. For a devotee, there is no pain, pleasure or material perfection. One may argue that at the time of death, a devotee also suffers because of giving up his material body. But in this connection, the example may be given that a cat carries a mouse in its mouth and also carries a kitten in its mouth. Both the mouse and the kitten are carried in the same mouth, but the perception of the mouse is different from that of the kitten. When a devotee gives up his body, tyaktva deham, he is ready to go back, home, back to Godhead. Thus, his perception is certainly different from that of a person being taken away by Yamraj for punishment. A person whose intelligence is always concentrated upon the service of the Lord is unafraid of accepting a material body, whereas a non-devotee having no engagement in the service of the Lord is very much afraid of accepting a material body or giving up his present one. Therefore, we should follow the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mama Janmami Janmani Ishvare Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahituki Tvai. It doesn't matter whether we accept a material body or a spiritual body. Our only ambition should be to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhasya Kripa Sindhu Bhaya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So thank you so much for being here this morning. So this is a interesting verse because Srila Prabhupada given a long purport, and as a matter of fact, everything is very nicely explained in the purport itself. So we see that Srila Prabhupada says that number of time people are engaged in different kind of devotional activities because they want to give up this material body and do not want to take the material body again. So Prabhupada says that a devotee doesn't care whether he has a material body or a spiritual body or body of an insect or human body or whatever body. A devotee's aim and mission is always to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in whatever capacity he or she could do that. So, if a devotee or if we take that position, then we don't really have to worry about what kind of a body we are going to get. We engage ourselves in devotional service, we carry out our prescribed duties sincerely, and whatever body we deserve, Krishna is going to provide us that. So we have a very clear-cut example of Srila Prabhupada himself. Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan before he came to United States. He was in Radha Damodar Temple, which was a place where the saintly people, the devotees of the Lord, they will gather. And in olden times, the Goswamis, the six Goswamis, they used to meet there and discuss Krishna Katha and different pastimes of the Lord in that temple. So it is said that their associations or their activities were not there at only that time. They are transcendental and they even take place now. So Srila Prabhupada was living in association of great saintly people, and at that age he took a decision to come to United States. When he came to United States, we all know, and recently this movie you might have seen, Srila Prabhupada spent the initial years of his arrival in United States in New York. And the area where he was living in New York was not really something to, it was not a great address. It was all, commonly visited by people who were drug addicts, alcohol drunkards, etc., engaged in all kind of, sex gratifications and things like that. But yet, Srila Prabhupada lived true to the instructions given in this particular verse. Whether he was in Vrindavan or he was in United States among the drunkards and drug addicts, his mission was to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's what he did. So, I think this is a example. We don't really need more examples than that, because this is really very simple and an example which happened recently. It happened just like 61 years ago, correct? Or 51? 61. He came in 66, so 51 years. So normally when we read about when we read Srimad Bhagavatam and we read different pastimes, so number of times we, at least I find it difficult to relate with what is happening there or what is being described. For example, we hear about pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj that happened thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, maybe millions of years ago. And to relate to what was happening at that time, sometimes it is not very easy. Same way, we hear that a particular devotee of the Lord meditated on his form or his name for 10,000 years or underwater, those kind of austerities. So living in this Kali Yuga, for us to relate to those activities may not be always very easy. To comprehend what kind of life one was leading at that time may not be very easy. But something which happened 50 or 60 years ago, it is very easy, because some of us were there at that time, or most of us were there. So it is easy to understand and then follow Srila Prabhupada as an example. There are other couple of examples, but I would like to just describe one which I really like very much, and this is the devotion of gopis towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So once it is described that Narad was visiting Krishna, and he asked a question. He had a question, and Lord knew already what the question was in mind. So he says that why don't you go to I have a headache. So please go and ask some of my devotees, to give the dust of their feet, which I have to apply on my forehead, and that is going to cure my headache. So it was in Dwarka, and there were so many devotees. All the queens were devotees of the Lord. So Narad thought that it will be such an easy job. So he went to the queens and says, "Oh, the Lord has a headache." And so they said, "So they were all concerned," and they said, "Well, the only medicine is the dust of your feet, which he will apply on his forehead, and then his headache will be cured." So they said, "Oh, we are not going to give you the dust of our feet," and the reason they gave is that this will be a big offense, that our dust will be the dust from our feet will be applied on his forehead. We are definitely going to go to hell. We don't want that. We don't want to commit an offense. He was a bit surprised. He contacted a couple of other devotees, and he got a similar answer. Then Krishna says, "Why don't you try Vrindavan?" So Narad Rishi, as he could, travel and appear wherever he wanted. So he appeared in Vrindavan, and he saw a couple of gopis, and he went to them and made the same request. And the gopis immediately said, "Oh, Krishna has headache, and you said you need the dust of our feet. Here it is." They just, bent down, picked up dust and gave it to Narad. And by that time, Narad had also become little bit wiser, if I may use so those words. So he immediately questioned them that, he's going to, the Lord is going to apply this dust on his forehead. Isn't this a big offense? You will go to hell for this. And they said, "We don't care if we have to go to hell or where we go, because if it is going to help Krishna in any way, we don't care what will be the reaction or what will be the outcome of this act of ours." So that shows their true devotional nature. That shows their unmotivated devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without caring, most of us, when we are engaging in different various kind of services, we may still be thinking about some results out of it. We must be wondering about some fruits out of our activities. But here, knowing fully well that this activity may be the cause of them landing in hell, they still agree to do that. So Srila Prabhupada is describing here that a devotee is, his only mission is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and with that in mind, he is not at all bothered about the body, in what body he is. And there's another particular reference Srila Prabhupada gives here. He says, even though a devotee may superficially appear to be in a material body, he is always liberated and is engaged in the same duties of service to the Lord as a devotee in Vaikuntha Loka. There is no distinction. It is said, sadhur jivo jivo va marova. So, have you heard of this particular story? They were a prophet or a saintly person came to a kingdom, and everybody wanted, you know, some benediction from him. They wanted to get some clarification about their future. It's very common when a saintly person comes, people would go and want to know. They are curious to know about their future, if you know. So people in that kingdom, they also wanted to you know, approach him and get some information about their future. So the prince of that kingdom, he was the first one to approach the saint. And so this saint said, Rajaputra Chiranjeeva. So Rajaputra means the son of the king. Chiranjeeva means you live forever. So he was very thankful. He paid his obeisances and then went away happily. The next person was a son of a saint. So, or we can even say a brahmachari. So, to him, the saint said, Muniputra, ma jiva, you don't live. Then, there was a butcher also in the queue, and when his turn came, he said, ma jiva, ma mara, don't live and don't die. And the third was a sadhu or a devotee. To him, the saint said, Jiva ma marova, either you live or you die. So, people were a little bit confused that, you know, being a saintly person, why he is giving different type of benedictions to different people? He should see everybody equally and, you know, should be saying the same thing. So, they asked for clarification, and I read this in words of Srila Prabhupada. Also, in Prabhupada has referred to this in some of his classes. Have you heard this one? Okay. So, to a prince, he said, Rajaputra Chiranjeeva, live forever. And he explained that as a prince, that person was engaged only in sense gratification. He had all the opulences which one could think of, and when all the opulences are available, one gets intoxicated, and his only aim or mission is sense gratification. As we just chanted Damodarashtakam, and we talked about sons of Kuvera. They were also intoxicated because of the wealth and opulences their father had, and we know where they landed because of those, you know, the activities they were engaged in. So he said, if this person, the prince, he dies, he is certainly going to go to hell because he has not done any pious activity, he has not done any devotional activity in his lifetime. So I gave him a boon that he should live forever, because if he lives here, he is more comfortable. Otherwise, once he dies, he is going to go immediately to hell. Then the next one was a brahmachari or the son of a saintly person, to whom he said, Rishi Muniputra Ma Jiva, you don't live. So he said, as a brahmachari or as a son of a saintly person, you have always engaged yourself in the devotional service. You have done only pious activities, and you have undergone lot of austerities, which was you are continuing to get, you know, undergo all those austerities. So, if you die, you are going to go back to heaven, and you are going to really enjoy. It will be a comfortable life for you. So, it will be better that you die as early as possible. The third one was a butcher, to whom he said, Jivo ma marova. Yeah, ma jiva ma mara. So, don't live, don't die. And so he explained that butcher is living, what is his job? He is killing and slaughtering the animals day in and day out. He is living in that environment where the animals are afraid, scared. There's blood all around him, and he's, you know, they are making all those sounds when they are scared. So his life is hell. And even when he dies, because of all the activities he's doing, all the killings and slaughtering he's doing, he is going to go again to hell, where he's going to get the reaction of all such activities in this, what he was doing here. So that was his explanation for benediction to butcher. And when it was that explanation required for the sadhu, that jiva va marova, either you live or you die. So he says, for you it does not really matter whether you live or you die, because you are engaged in the service of the Lord. You have devoted your life with that mission. So whether you are living in this world or you are dying, you are going to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In your life here, in you are doing that, and your life after you leave this body is also going to be the same, because you are going to go back to Godhead and you are going to serve Him there as well. So this is the mission and aim of the life of a devotee, to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have another example here which we can talk about, that it is says that one may argue that at the time of death a devotee also suffers because of giving up his material body. But in this connection, the example may be given that a cat carries a mouse in its mouth and also carries a kitten in its mouth. So I have seen from close quarters at times, you know, people leaving their bodies, or people in, you know, elderly people who are ready to leave their bodies. And it is very surprising that some people leave their body very comfortably and some people suffer a lot. I don't know if you had a chance ever to go to a nursing home or old people's home. If you go there, you may not want to go there again. It is so scary. I'm just sharing this with you. Once I went there, and I had to visit somebody, and that person was sharing a room with another elderly person who had been in that bed for over 3 or 4 years. That person was blind, had broken her backbone, so couldn't move, and totally confined to the bed. Lost her memory. She didn't recognize who was talking to her, who was visiting her, except what time she had breakfast, or she had breakfast at all or not. And, you know, just because, like, when you go to a hospital or a nursing home and you have another, you know, patient there, you just inquire, you know, who is he and what's happening. And when I heard about that this person has been there for 3 or 4 years and living like that, I was so, you know, sad that what kind of a life is this? The reason why I'm explaining this is that the Lord makes sure that His devotees, they have a comfortable end. Though it may sometimes not appear so, but Prabhupada gives the example of the kitten and the rat, that even though they are both, a person may be going in the mouth of death, or, you know, but still, they will have a different feeling, just because one person was engaged in one type of activities and the other person was engaged in the devotional service, their feeling at the time of leaving their body will be entirely different. So it is I have heard different examples in ISKCON also, that people were undergoing, they had such severe kind of, you know, illnesses, but there were no such symptoms as such. A ordinary person with that kind of a disease may be in so much of agony and pain, but a devotee having the same thing was not really feeling, didn't feel that way. So, so because a devotee, number of times, because a person is very much worried and scared that what will happen to me after death. This is a very big question which you ask people, however learned, and you know, the Prabhupada says that they are big professors, and you, if you ask them, you know, what is their destination after they leave this body, they don't know. Whereas a devotee knows, and a devotee is aspiring to be in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead even after he or she leaves this body. So he or she knows that what I am going to do when I leave this body. So a devotee is not worried at all. He is only praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give him opportunity to serve. We had this in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he says that if you want me to take birth and accept a material body again, he says, I don't mind, but just give me the opportunity to take birth in the home of a home of your servant. And this is interesting because the Lord says that I do not live in Vaikuntha, I do not live in you know, heart of yogis and jnanis. I live where my devotees are chanting my name. So in other words, the real presence of the Lord is where his devotees are. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says here that he wants to take birth in the house of a at the home of a servant of the Lord. So he will get again opportunity to serve there as a servant of the servant, and he will get the opportunity to grow up in an environment where he will be learning how to serve the Lord effectively. So I will end here that a devotee's mission is service at the lotus feet of the Lord, and if we sincerely desire that, then the Lord will make arrangement that we get the opportunity. In whatever form a devotee's aim and devotee's mission is, that whatever may be my situation, whatever may be my, you know, you can say weaknesses or deficiencies, but still he or she finds ways to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either directly or indirectly. And this is the month of Kartik, where whatever devotional activity we do, the credits get multiplied thousands of times. So we should use this opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a matter of fact, just while we are, I was thinking that how fortunate we are that every day in the morning we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially discussing and reading Srimad Bhagavatam in month of Kartik is a activity which is prescribed in our scriptures. So we are all very, very fortunate. We should make best use of this body which we have and continue to serve their Lordship in whatever capacity, in whatever way we could. Thank you. Any questions? Discussion. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your wonderful class. You made a lot of nice, wonderful points. And my, please forgive me because my notes are pretty splay here, as you can see. they're on, what are these called? I forgot. Note stickies or whatever. So forgive me for not being as eloquent, because in the last sentence of I mean, you were mentioning all these points, but I'll just specifically remember mention in the last sentence of this purport, Prabhupada mentions that our only ambition is to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then he quotes earlier Lord Chaitanya's verse of, I don't desire money, fame, women, etc. So my comment is that it seems like they're similar to the prayers of Queen Kunti. She said, I don't even want beauty. Like, who prays like that? She prayed, I wish that nothing would go my way. Mm-hmm. And Hiranyakashipu prayed that I wish that everything would go my way. Now, I'll have to be honest with myself. I'm sure we could all be honest with us that our prayers are more in line with Hiranyakashipu than with Queen Kunti. Because mm-hmm. nobody prays that I don't want anyone to respect me. I don't want any money. So my question is related to that point is that as far as associating with devotees are concerned or anyone in general, because it says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned in his verse is that ahaituki bhati, and that verse from the Bhagavatam, it says ahaituki apriti hata yaya supersedati, that one can only be satisfied by ahaituki bhati, unmotivated, unconditional love. Mm-hmm. So my question is related to this point is that when we're associating with our family, our friends, and even other devotees, now we know in our heart that everyone's operating on that principle of, I wish that everything would go my way. So when we want to make a decision, or any decision in life, there's a sense of dissatisfaction because you know if your family, friends, or other devotees agree with it, they'll say, no, that's the wrong course. Well, what if I want to make this decision anyway? Well, then I won't be your friend anymore, or I'll chastise you, So that's kind of essentially my question is that how does one develop the mentality like Haridas Thakur, Prahlad, because they made their own decisions, just like the Muslim Qazi said, Haridas Thakur, it's your responsibility to be a Muslim. And Haridas Thakur said, I agree to disagree. So how do we develop that mentality that I can make my own decisions and be even if they're mistakes? So maybe you could explain.
Yeah. So we have to have trust in the Lord. That's the most important thing. Because usually we have a plan and we have a backup plan also. So if we have full trust in the Lord, then we will be satisfied with whatever happens in our life. Nityanand Pranprabhu gave the class, I think, 2 or 3 days ago. And he was talking about satisfaction. I don't know if you attended that class of his. So he was talking about satisfaction. And he says a non-devotee is never satisfied in life, irrespective of whatever he has. So he may have more than what he needs, but still he is always hankering for more. On the contrary, a devotee is satisfied with whatever he has. It may be just a little bit, but he thinks that this is what Lord's mercy is, and this is what I deserve. And Krishna gives more than what we deserve. Correct? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that my devotees will never perish. So Krishna is really taking good care of his devotees. So if we trust Krishna and we believe that he is going to take care of me, then I'll be happy with whatever I have, with whatever is happening in my life. In Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in his prayers, Shraddhanjali prayers, is saying the same thing, that the Lord is my protector and the Lord is my maintainer. So number of times we feel that no, I have to take care of the things myself. I may be, even if it appears that I may be taking care of things myself, the intelligence to do that comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if I am serving, if I am doing activities and engaging in different kind of tasks, which may be required because, like Prabhupada says, that when we live in this material world, we have to work. We have to engage in different kind of activities. And obviously, when we engage in certain kind of, different kind of activities, there will be results also. There will be results as well. Say, you are cooking something in the kitchen. I'd like to give examples of prasadam. So, you are cooking something in the kitchen. Some people may like it, some people may not like it. The taste of what you make halwa, for example. Some people may say, oh, it's a very tasty halwa. And some people may say, well, it's okay, it's not all that great. So, Now, how do you react to that? And a devotee will feel that this is the skills that have been given to me by Krishna. And if people, and Krishna liked it, and if the devotee has liked it, he is happy. But still he thanks Krishna that Krishna gave him or her the skills to make such delicious halwa. So, or if it didn't turn out to be well, then he is going to pray to Krishna that Krishna, please next time let me, you know, do a little better job than what I did this time. Not necessarily only in cooking, but it could also relate to the, you know, activities which maybe we may be doing in offices. For example, most of us or some of us are who are in Grihastha ashram, they work outside in the offices, and they are doing different kind of things there. A number of times they get appreciation because they did a wonderful job. A number of times the results are not necessarily always, like you said, what we want, and then there are disappointments as well. But a devotee is always, in either situation, a devotee will thank the Lord that Lord gave him the opportunity, Lord gave him the skills to do certain thing in a particular way. And if I did not perform well in a particular situation, I request the Lord to give me more intelligence, to give me, you know, make me worthy of doing things in a way which will be appreciated by the Lord. So, this is one part of the answer to your question. The second part, you said, like, you are referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, you know, verse that I do not want. The last part, you said that, there, I think I like to quote from Nectar of Devotion, where Rupa Goswami, you know, is the summary of Nectar of Devotion, where it says Anya Vilashita Shunyam. So we all have desires, but so long my desire is only to do things which are favorable to Krishna, that's my only desire, then whatever activities I am doing, they are devotional activities. There may be, it is, sometimes we say, you know, that always remember Krishna, never forget him. Correct? This is, after Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this is the mother of all mantras. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. Now, examples are given that the way Kansa remembered Krishna, nobody else remembered him. The day Vasudev and Devaki got married, and Kansa heard that the eighth son of Devaki is going to be his death, correct? He was always remembering him, that, I have to take care of him. I have to take care of the son of Devaki. So there was not even a single moment when he forgot Krishna. But do we call that bhakti? We don't call that bhakti because it was not favorable. So we have to engage ourselves in activities which are favorable and favorable to Krishna. Anukul. Anukul means favorable. So if our desires are to please Krishna in a favorable way, we are on the right path. And that's what our aim of life should be. Okay? Sure. Yeah.
Thank you for your answer. You were mentioning, so when we're satisfied, a devotee, you mentioned in Nityananda Prabhu's class that when we're satisfied, if you're a devotee, you're satisfied with anything, and vice versa. But when we're devotees, when we're dealing with, I'll use your two stories you gave in class, but when we're dealing with living beings, devotees or family and friends, just like you said, the gopis, that's one of my favorite stories, where the gopis relieved the headache of Krishna and they didn't care about their own happiness. But you also gave the example of the that devotee who had three people who gave him advice, go to hell, not go to hell, or don't die at all. And so in our life, we receive different advice from different devotees. And how do we distinguish the fact that, you know, sometimes you feel like they're saying you'll please the devotees, you please Krishna. But we have three different advices from three different devotees, and you don't want to displease any of them, because naturally people like to maintain the relationships, but in the end you can't maintain them all. You have to make some decision in your life. So we all deal with that dilemma. So what do you have to offer for
so us for again that? I will refer to Nectar of Devotion, where Rupa Goswami describes the 64 angas of bhakti. And the first one he says, what is the first one? Do you remember? To take shelter of a lotus feet of a spiritual master. Or in other words, go to a spiritual master. Then serve him and inquire from him inquisitively. Be inquisitive and inquire from him. And follow his instructions. And we also, you know, every day in the morning when we are, before we start our japa, we say that to disobey the order of spiritual master is an offense. So my answer to your dilemma would be that seek advice from your spiritual master, because he understands your nature. He will be able to guide you through this process very nicely. And it is said that, you know, you shouldn't be opening your heart to everybody. Even for a devotee, it is mentioned that, you know, you come across several devotees in a day, like you mentioned. And if you start discussing your situation with everybody, everybody has an advice for you. As a matter of fact, you know, advice comes free. You know, there are not many things free in this life, but advice is one thing which comes very free. So, but advice from the spiritual master is not free. Correct? It is so precious, because he understands your nature and he is going to guide you properly. So, you have that kind of relationship. With sometimes you may say that you know, some people are fortunate, they are able to communicate and, you know, meet their spiritual master more often. Some people have a little distance, or the spiritual master are busy, not available always so easily. Then you have a kind of a super, you know, your counselor or a advisor. Your spiritual master sometimes may himself tell you that, you know, if you have situations where you need some advice, please contact so and so. So it is better to, you know, rather than taking advice from everybody, take advice just from some selective people. I'll give you the reason also why we shouldn't take advice from practically everybody. And this is also true for spiritual life, I mean devotional life, as well as for our, you know, material life. Normally we go to different people because we want a confirmation of what we want to do ourselves. So say for example, I'm just giving a very you know, gross example. You want to buy a car, and you know, you do your own research, you have your own budget, you have your own you know, liking, and you decide that I want to buy, say, a Honda Accord. Okay, now you want to buy a car, but you are not still 100% sure whether Honda Accord is a good car or not, whether you should buy it or not. So you go to Karunanidhi Prabhu and say, Prabhu, I want to buy a car, which car should I buy? And then he says, oh Prabhu, I have a Camry, it's a wonderful car, buy a Camry. Then you say, oh, he doesn't know much about cars. Okay, then you go to Jitendra Prabhu and say, Jitendra Prabhu, I want to buy a car. What do you recommend? You have, you know, good friends, you know, some of the mechanics in the area are your good friends. What do they recommend? And then he says, oh, Prabhu, you should buy a Mercedes. And then he says, oh, he doesn't know my budget. And then you go to Krishnarjuna Mataji. He doesn't have much knowledge about the cars, but you still feel that I should ask her. And she says, Prabhu, buy Honda Accord. I heard it's a wonderful car. And then what will you answer? This Mataji really knows everything about cars, and I'm going to follow her advice and I'm going to buy Honda Accord. So though initially you started with Honda Accord in mind, but now you are getting a confirmation also from her that Honda Accord is a good car, so buy it. So you end up buying. So what you are doing, actually you are not following her
advice. You have just got a confirmation from her to what your original, you know, premise was. And you end up doing that. So we sometimes on our own like to contact different people because somebody among them is going to say what I have in mind. And then I will say, oh, so-and-so told me to do that also. So then we can take that kind of a, you know, excuse that I was not the only one who was thinking like that. There's another reason why sometimes people do not or are little careful. One has to be actually careful when approaching your spiritual master with an inquiry or with for instructions. Because if a spiritual master is giving the instructions, then we have to follow it. So number of times we are not sure which way or what kind of instruction the spiritual master is going to give in a particular situation. So, and we don't want to take a chance. So we say, instead of going to the spiritual master and he may say something which I may not be able to do, I would rather consult, you know, people around me and then, you know, get free advice. I try to share with you, you know, this is what I feel is the way, you know, why we act the way we act number of times. Yeah. Thank you. Any comments, Jitendra Prabhu? Thank you so much. Thank you. Karunanidhi Prabhu wants to say something.
Prabhu, I was just hearing for one sentence, you are saying something. So how devotees are not afraid of any situation? Something you are telling. Mm-hmm. So there is a nice verse, can you find out, I forgot from your computer, that Narayana para sarve na kutascharn vibhyate sarga apa varga, then last line I forgot. So you got? No, you are like, no, that's okay, if you can find out.
You know the translation? Sort of, yeah.
So that means how that verse is telling that Narayana para sarve means whoever has thought himself that Narayana and Krishna is all my everything, then nakutasan bibhati means he is not scared of any situation. Whether he is in sarga or pavarga means whether he is in heaven or hell, wherever he may be.
Yeah.
So he doesn't care.
we read, before you came, we read a statement or some kind of a benediction a saintly person gave to a devotee. And he says, jiva ma marova. So, which translates to that whether you live or you die, it is the same thing. Because as a devotee, you are always going to engage in the devotional service at the lotus feet of the Lord. So, because that's the only aim of a devotee, he only wants that. And he doesn't really is concerned what's happening. In whatever situation a person may be, he or she is only striving for the service. So, and I have seen that here also in the temple, that there are certain people who will come and somehow or the other, they will find something to do. You know, they will come and say, oh, is there any service available here? And people will say, no, it's busy. Then they will go elsewhere and ask, is there any service can I do here? And sometimes everywhere there are enough number of devotees engaged in service. But still, that person will find something to do. So, what we also discussed was that if we have the desire to serve the Lord will make arrangement that you get the opportunity to serve also. So, a devotee is not bothered about what's going to happen to him. Basically, we are talking about life after death. Because one is, in this world, most of the people are worried and concerned that what's going to happen to me after I leave this body. But a devotee is not bothered, because devotee only wants that whatever happens to him, he should get an opportunity to serve the Lord even in his next lifetime. If there's a next lifetime or wherever he or she is, he should get the opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.